The FBI. At 4 o'clock this afternoon, the bank of fog, which for days has been standing off San Francisco Bay, began tumbling inland until now, at 5, the Golden Gate Bridge towers have disappeared, and the city is experiencing the sort of weather that helps to make it famous. While out on the Golden Gate edge of town, in his snug studio at the top of the house, Paul Barber stands at his desk, sorting through 4 days' accumulated mail. Through the tall north windows, the fog lights from the bridge have become mere yellow accents in a field of white. And since this invites a change in plans, Paul has reached for the phone.
Yes?
Hi there, Hazel.
Oh, Paul, I'm so glad you're back. You found my note.
Yes, but I doubt if anybody's going to the Sky Ranch in this weather. I'll take you with me when I go. How long do you plan to stay?
Until we sell the house, I guess. I'll tell you all about it. Something very odd happened at your place the other day. I came over to return a book and, are you busy now?
No, no. I'll have a fire in the fireplace and wait out the fog. Come on over.
I think I shall.
Yeah, come right along. Oh, is Jack home yet?
I'll find out.
Good. Bring him along if you see him. I'll call the Sky Ranch and tell him the situation. We'll have dinner here.
I'll come in the front way. I have a key.
See you. Dad, this is Paul.
Yes. Your mother tells me you're leaving for Washington.
I'm not leaving, Dad. I'm back.
Oh, I see. Well, my timing seems normal. When are you coming to see us?
Well, we don't know. We're stocked in.
A fog? Really? Beautiful day here in the mountains.
Is David there? Dad, is David Norwich where you can call him? I brought back some news for him. Hello? Hello? Well, what's this? Hello!
Here I am. I was inquiring about David. Betty says he's driving around in that red sports car with Penelope. Quite a friendship developing there.
Okay, ask him to call me here, will you? Anytime he gets in, it's important. You hear me, Dad? Dad! Hello! Oh, now where did he go? Dad! Hello!
May I come in?
Oh, Hazel, come on in. Dad keeps leaving the phone.
He does that lately. Mother found the phone off the hook in the cottage. He'd gone to look for Pinky, forgot what he started to do, and wound up in the hammock with a geographic.
Paul, pardon me, a car drove in, but it wasn't David. It's Joan and the children.
Oh?
Yes, Johnny's here now. I've written your message.
Thanks.
I'll take care, Ellie. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Bye.
See Pinky's there.
Sorry, too late, he's hung up.
Doesn't matter. There's mail for Pinky. We'll take it when we go.
Now then, find a chair. Let me build up the fire and we'll make an evening of it. And start talking. I feel as if I'd been away a month. How's Dan?
Oh, fine. He's in Los Angeles, of course. We're marking time till we sell the house.
Yeah?
I've been sitting there 24 hours a day, but nobody comes to see it. Claudia and Nikki urged me to come to the Sky Ranch, so...
Yeah, sensible idea. There. Yeah, there'll be a fire in no time. Well, this is being weathered in. I like it.
Me too. There are the books I brought back Wednesday. You know, a rather disturbing thing happened while I was here. I came up to get some others, and the phone rang. I forgot about the answering device.
Well, it's not working anyway. I haven't reported it because nobody's been here to let the workmen in.
Oh. Well, I said, hello, and nobody answered. But I could hear breathing on the line.
Wasn't Dad looking for something?
Oh, no, Paul, no. This was very strange. It seemed ominous. I don't know why, but it really did. This can be the emptiest house in the world, anyhow. And something scared me. I kept on saying, hello, hello, until they hung up. And I got the dial tone. So then I called the police.
Oh? Well, I wish you hadn't.
Well, Emily Stewart has seen prowlers around here.
When?
Well, what day did you leave for Washington?
Monday.
Then it was Monday evening.
Where?
Near here. She saw somebody duck into the hedge as the police car came. They've been patrolling more than usual, too.
Police find anything?
No. I came over here Tuesday morning to check up on things, and nothing had been disturbed, and yet There was an alien feeling here, Paul. All the time I was in the house, I felt as though I were being watched. It was really frightening. So I... What was that?
The door. Draft blew shut.
What draft? Paul, there isn't a draft anywhere. There isn't a window open anywhere.
Well, if you say so, I'll go downstairs and take a look.
We'll return in just a moment to One Man's Family.
A healthy body and a healthy personality. That's what all of us want for our children. We know how to build their bodies. Plenty of good food and exercise. But how do we build character? The answer? Stand the ties with the family, the church, the school. And for more than 2 million American girls, Girl Scouting. Girl Scout leaders know that children need to love and be loved. To give as well as receive. To help where help is needed. They need the friendship of other children, the guidance of older friends, too. And above all, a simple code for daily living and good citizenship. A code that they can understand in childhood and live by all their lives. Yes, it takes more than food to build a healthy future America. It takes organizations like the Girl Scouts. Give them your support.
Paul, coming down from the studio a few steps in advance of Hazel, reaches the first landing in time to hear the closing of the front door in the hallway below.
Who's down there?
Hello.
Hi, Jack. Hazel.
I'm right behind you.
Oh, it was Jack. Came in the front way. Jackson, come on up to the studio. It's snug up here.
Were either of you downstairs?
When?
Just now.
No, why?
Are you alone in the house?
Well, we thought we were. What's the trouble? Well,
come on down a minute. I've had kind of a funny feeling about this place the last couple of days. Emily Stewart reported...
I told him.
Well, last night I got home about dusk, and I could have sworn I saw someone move past the French window. I came in, looked around.
Oh, dear.
And just now, as I turned in at the walk, somebody started out the front door, changed his mind, and came back in.
Well, where's Hank?
Hank moved to his apartment. They'd rented it, so...
Well, wait a minute, then...
Yeah, somebody's in here or has been.
You better take a look around.
If we're going to take a look around, let's all look together.
Well, he's long gone by this time. I'll check the back door. You check the closet, Paul.
Front closet's so full of coats, you'll have to move hangers. Oh, no!
Pardon, madame. I'm very peaceful. Don't be alarmed.
All right, come up.
Jack!
Coming!
I said come out! Oh! Monsieur, my arm. It's not necessary to twist it off. I have no weapons. She will strike you.
Well, I'll call the police.
Now, wait a minute, Hazel. In the library. Go on.
This is the guy we saw at the Trianon.
Hazel, don't call anybody. Go ahead, Pierre.
You're breaking my arm, monsieur.
All right, Jack, close the doors. And lock them. Now, sit in that big chair and watch yourself.
Oh, oui, monsieur Barbara. Merci.
You're Pierre du Laitpont.
Ah, if monsieur insists.
The FBI is looking for you.
Oh, the celebrated American FBI. So much more dignified than mere police.
Paul, do you know this man?
He's the one who repeatedly searched David Norris's home in Brussels, his apartment in the hotel in New York, his briefcase on the plane. He's been at the Sky Ranch. And I've no doubt there isn't a corner of this house that hasn't had his attention. Is that right, Pierre?
Well, it's a pleasant house. Too bad we cannot all be capitalists.
But what was he looking for?
It's so simple. Money. He's under orders to find the treasure of the House of Boslow, which was spirited away during the First World War. The communists can be very legalistic when it suits them. When they locate it, they'll institute lawsuits to get it back. But Pierre won't be in on it.
No? And where will I be?
Dial this number for me, will you, Hazel? I'll let them tell you.
The Barbers in just a moment.
You just don't know what you're missing if you haven't tried the modern Rinso Blue. Sure, Rinso Blue's got two actions, not just one, like those single-action detergents. It's got power cleaning that pulls out stubborn dirt, and it's got a special bluing action, so you get a wash that's spankin' clean and pure white. Try the modern Rinso Blue. Lever Brothers guarantee it'll please you or your money back.
Oh, A moment later, as Paul concludes a phone conversation...
No, he's not armed. Okay, Ted, we'll be waiting.
Oh. Paul, he seems to be in pain.
Well, what's your trouble?
It's a cramp in my leg. Oh, may I stand?
Watch him.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Get away from the French door. Grab him, Jack.
Look out.
Oh, no. Right through the glass door.
Hey there, Hazel. Come on, Jack.
You betcha.
Oh, the door.
Hey, Paul, where are you?
Right here. I've got him. The patio furniture. He didn't see it in the fog.
Oh. He's coming up?
Right. Come on, fella. Mm. On your feet. This is nothing to the headache that's in store for you.
One Man's Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written by Harlan Ware, directed by Carlton E. Morse, and features J. Anthony Smythe, Bernice Berwin, Paige Gilman, Russell Thorson, and Mary Adams. One Man's Family has been selected to be heard by our armed forces overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. In Chapter 12, Book 131, Conference with David Norwich, Frank Barton speaking. One Man's Family, winner of 47 national awards, now in its 27th year, is a Carlton E. Morse production and comes to you from California. Madeline Carroll stars next in The Affairs of Dr. Gentry as our 2 hours of drama continues over most of these stations.